Let's pray together. Father, thank you for that truth that Jesus is Lord of all. We pray now that you would come and speak to us by your Spirit and help us to grow in our understanding and experience of him. Amen. So do keep that passage from Ephesians open, because I want to just have a little look at it together. Now, by way of introduction, when the New Testament letters were written and being put together in Scripture, one of the things they were seeking to address were misunderstandings in the early church, because there was confusion about who Jesus was. Many struggled with the concept that Jesus could be both fully human and fully God, that this person who walked and lived on earth had also been present right at the beginning of time when the heavens and the earth were created. And as a result, we often find the New Testament writers trying to seek to address that point and to clarify it for the early readers. And I think it's something we still need to hear today. There's many in our world who misunderstand Jesus. I just want to give you a couple of other examples before we look at this passage in Ephesians. So in the book of Colossians, I can find it. Paul writes this just after Philippians, Colossians chapter 1. He says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. In him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and before him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy." And then the writer to the Hebrews wrote this: "God spoke to our ancestors, but in these last days he's spoken to us through his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe." And then he goes on, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." And then here in this letter to the Ephesians, at the end of this chapter, he says in verse 22, "God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body." So then there's this very clear definition of who Jesus is, that Jesus is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He's not just a special person. He's not just a great historical figure. He's those things. He's not just even a miracle worker. He is the one who lived, who walked on earth, who died on a cross, who rose again from death, and is now elevated at the right hand of God the Father to be the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the one who has supreme power and authority. And today, before we get into the madness of Advent and the lead up to Christmas, there's an opportunity for us just to think about Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So let's look at these few verses in Ephesians. Now, Ephesus, the letter that Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus, is in what we would now know as Turkey on the Aegean coast. It had a harbour. And back in Paul's day, was an important commercial centre where people came and went. Goods and trade and business flowed out from Ephesus. And as it did so, the word of God travelled too. That's one of the reasons I think Paul chose it as a base, because as people came and discovered the things of the kingdom of God, so they could take them out to other places. And so Paul made it a centre for evangelism. Acts chapter 19 tells us a bit more about that. He established a flourishing church. And now he writes to them because he wants them to see that the church isn't just an end in itself. It's not just a new kind of institution, but the church should be the means by which this power that he's writing about, by this authority that he declares, is made known to the rest of the world. Now, if you look back in Ephesians chapter 1, you'll see that the letter begins by Paul reminding people how they are blessed, how the early church is blessed. And just a few things from those passages. He says that we're blessed because we've received every spiritual blessing in Christ. We're blessed because God chose us, because we're adopted, because we are redeemed. He blessed us and has lavished on us wisdom and understanding. He's given us knowledge to know him. He's given us the gift of the Spirit. And then Paul goes on to pray for them. He says, verse 16, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. What an encouragement that must be. I don't know if you know that. If someone says to you, I'm praying for you at the moment, I'm giving thanks to God for you. What a blessing it is just to know that we're not in this alone, that there's other people encouraging us. And that's what Paul said to this fledgling church. I'm praying for you. I'm giving thanks for you. And I'm seeking for more of God in your lives. And then he goes on to expand what his prayer is. In verse 17, he says, I keep praying for you that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that you may know him better. That was Paul's prayer for them, that they would know Jesus better, that they would grow in their relationship with him. In John's Gospel, John 12:45, Jesus says, the one who looks at me sees the one who sent me. The one who looks at me sees the one who sent me. You see, as we look more at Jesus, as we focus more on Jesus, so we see more of God. That's why we encourage people to pray in the name of Jesus, to declare the name of Jesus, to sing about Jesus, to talk about Jesus. Not just to talk about God. There's lots of different religions that acknowledge God, but as Christians, we acknowledge Jesus because Jesus points us to the Father. Jesus is the exact representation of God. And when we look at Jesus, we see him. And so it's important that we do. And Paul longs for the Ephesians and longs for us to know more of God through Jesus. But it isn't just about knowledge. It's also about power. Because he longs that they would receive and know more of the Spirit's power in their lives. He goes on in verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believed. And what does he say about that power? That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Paul longs that the Ephesians would know Jesus better and would experience the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives, because the Spirit's power is beyond anything that we can imagine. It's the power that caused the man who had died on a cross, who had suffered, who was laid in a tomb and left for 3 days, to come back to a glorious new life. I don't know what other power can cause that to happen other than the unique and amazing power of God. And that's what Paul says. We can know that power in our lives. We can experience that power in our lives. And then Paul ends this passage by reminding us that Jesus is Lord of all. Look at verse 22. God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Everything is under the feet of Jesus. He is Lord of all. I don't know about you, but I find that an amazing thought. Paul's already told us that we can know Jesus intimately. And now he says, but he's also Lord over all things. He's Lord over every ruler on this earth. Earthly rulers think they exercise power, but we've seen this week, haven't we, how power is limited. The power of God, the power of Jesus, is not limited, and all authorities submit to him. I guess most of us here might be just a tad excited if we had a letter tomorrow that said we could go and have tea with the Queen. We would probably put a lot of thought into what we were going to wear, how we were going to get there. We'd be pretty nervous. We'd sit down and we'd enjoy tea and we would be very respectful. And then we would come home again and our audience would be over. But what Paul says is that Jesus exercises more power than the Queen, and our relationship with him can be more intimate than a single visit. Because the invitation to us is not just to go and have tea with Jesus. Our invitation is to know everything about him, to experience him every day of our lives, not as a one-off, but all the time. That's incredible, isn't it? The one who rules over all things is also the one who says, come, walk with me. I'm going to share my life with you, and I want you to share your life with me. And that's what's on offer with Jesus. Not just an encounter on a single day, but an ongoing, deepening relationship with him. And Paul longed that for the early church, and I think he still longs it for us today. And God longs for it too. Longs it for you and me. And it's good for us today to just take stock of that before everything starts kicking in towards Christmas. Well, this past year, we as a church have been celebrating 150 years of being a worshipping community here. And I guess today really marks the end of that year of celebration. Yeah, we've got another month to go, but other things will take priority. And so it's right that we just acknowledge that today. But when we set out and when we were planning this year, we didn't just want it to be a year of nostalgia, of looking back, thinking, oh, wasn't that great back in such and such a day? And wasn't it lovely when they had that building? Or wasn't that a wonderful leader who was here at that time? We wanted to give thanks for those things, but also to make it a year when we would grow in our walk with God. To, as Paul put it, to know Jesus better, to grow intimately with him, to experience the power of his Spirit in our lives, and to make him known in this community. Throughout this year, we've had some great speakers. I don't know if you remember, it seems a long time ago now. We started at the beginning of the year when Mark Russell came and from the Church Army came and shook us all up a bit with his really challenging and engaging talk. We've had Tricia Hillis and David Ison from St. Paul's Cathedral. We had three former vicars, Ron Swan, David Runcorn, Jan Clark. And they all said different things, and yet they all did the same thing, which was to encourage us in our walk with God and to grow in our experience of him. At the beginning of the year, we encouraged people to take up a Bible challenge. We offered different options, and it's great to see how a number of people have done that. I know some people have struggled, but don't worry if you've struggled, because the Bible is always there. You can always come back to it. Some have done the online app. Some have used Cover to Cover. Some have used the Essential 100. Some have used other forms of scripture. It doesn't matter. The great thing is that we've been trying to engage more with scripture. 30 of us just returned from the Holy Land. And the purpose of that wasn't just to have a holiday, but was to experience more of Jesus and to grow in our relationship with him. And I think it has enabled that to happen. And of course, so during this year, we've shared our faith. We've done it in different ways. We've shared our faith with children through Experience Easter with local schools, through our holiday club in the summer, our big community fete on that wonderfully glorious day back in July, through Alpha this autumn, where we've seen lives changed and people transformed. And alongside all of that, we've had the odd celebration and eaten and drunk a bit. And it's been a good year, and I hope that as we look back, we can see that we have grown just a little bit in our walk with God. But I don't think that God wants us just to forget all that and to get back to where we were a year ago. You see, his desire, as Paul writes here, is always for more. He longs that we know Jesus better and experience more of him. When we pray together before services and at prayer meetings and so on, we usually take time to listen to God. We invite the Spirit to come and to give us, as Paul writes in Corinthians, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, words of prophecy that will speak into either individual or church situations. And we share those on a Sunday morning. Sometimes a word may speak into your life, or it may speak to us as a church. But during this year, one little phrase, one word that was given at some point really spoke to us, I think, as a church. And it was simply this: God was calling us to dig deeper, to dig deeper. When a plant or a tree has deep roots, when they go deep, they find new supplies of water and nutrients. As they dig deep roots, as they expand, so they withstand storms and gales that come along much better than those with shallow roots. And I think that that's what this year has been about, but it's also what God is saying to us as we move forward. He's saying, dig deeper. Dig deeper. He wants us to have deep roots so that we can draw on that well of life, but also so that when the storms come, we can withstand them. And you know, as I look around this room, I know that storms come. They come for us all in different ways, and they're often unexpected. But when we have deeper roots, it doesn't mean the storm doesn't affect us, but it means that we're in a better place to survive. So God doesn't want us to stop digging because our 150th is over. Now, I just want to say that we are not going to be doing things at quite the pace and with the regularity that we have over this last year. We sense that as a church, we've done a lot and it's been great, but there's kind of a bit of weariness around and we need to take things in a slightly different pace. But it's not time to say, well, let's just forget all that we've done and just stand still, because God wants more. And how might we do that? Well, I think the most significant thing that we can do, that we can carry on doing, and I want to encourage you in today, is to read more of Scripture. It's a very simple thing. We can all do it on our own, or we can do it together. This year, something like 60 of us signed up to do the Bible Challenge. And I just would long for us all to sign up to doing some kind of Bible challenge next year. If you've read the Bible in a year, why not read it again in a year? The one thing I want to promote, which I've done this year, which Caroline and I have done together, and a number of people have, is to use the HTB app. If you've got a smartphone or you've got a tablet, it's brilliant. If you haven't, you can still get it on your computer, or there's some other resource you can use. But what you get with the HTB app is you get some scripture to read each day, a psalm or proverb, a bit of the Old Testament, a bit of the New Testament, and you get some commentary with it, which is really helpful in understanding some of the difficult bits of scripture. For those who work, if you have it on your tablet or phone, you can listen to it as you go to work or in the tube. And I know people do. Somebody was doing Alpha this year, told us how they were listening to it as they walked down to the station every morning. It's about 15 minutes a day. I really cannot recommend it enough, and I'm going to put round a link so that people can sign up to do it and get it for themselves. Give it a go. Try it. And if you slip behind, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it takes you a year and a half to read. No one's going to check up. but it's actually working your way through Scripture. And yes, there are some difficult bits. There's some stuff in here that we don't fully understand, that perhaps we wish wasn't there. We wish it was all, you know, nice, easy stuff that we could understand. But there's things that we have to wrestle with. But the more we wrestle with them, the more we understand them. You don't want to do the online app. Do something else. The bookstore have got resources, things like Cover to Cover, the book version of reading the Bible in a year, or something like Essential 100, which is just 100 days of readings, or some other way of engaging with Scripture. But I think as we do that together, as we take up reading Scripture going forward, we will be digging deeper. We'll be digging deeper individually. We'll be putting down roots. We'll be taking up nutrients. And that will impact where we are as a church. You see, it's not about the stuff that we organize as a leadership team and calling us to do things together. Yeah, they're great. They're helpful. But at the end of the day, it's about our individual walk with God. It's about the way that we grow with him. And it's about our preparedness for what lies ahead in the future. In these final weeks of 2017, before we get into that madness of those final couple of weeks of December, I just want to encourage you to think about that, to make that commitment now for next year, to think how you might do that, where in your day might this work, how you might engage more with Scripture. And I really believe that you will be surprised by the way that God blesses you as you do that. Blesses you as you commit to reading his word, blesses you as you put down deeper roots, that enables you to see God more intimately, to experience his love, and to know the power of the Spirit in your lives.